Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be on God's glorious earth. Welcome to Balance Point. Today we're going to be beginning a, Today we're going to begin a new series, and we're going to be walking through one of the early creeds of the church, the Apostles' Creed. And we're going to look at the Apostles' Creed and the Apostles' Creed, what it says, and where we find it in the scriptures. This is one of those foundational creeds that really dates back to the early church. And it's wonderful because it is one of those, it so well summarizes what Christians believe and where we find it and why we believe it. And we pray that this will, we really pray that this will just be a great blessing to you in strengthening your faith and in strengthening your understanding of what you believe, of what we believe as Christians and why we believe what we believe. And so let's take a moment and dig in, but first let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful to be in your presence, and we humbly approach your throne, and we ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, that you would give us wisdom and you would give us understanding. Father God, I pray for those who are going to be seeing this message and who are going to be listening to the recordings afterwards in the months and years to come, who may not know you, and who may wonder what it is to be a Christian and what it means and what we believe. And Father God, I just pray that this would, these words that are going to be said over the next few minutes during this session and over the next few sessions that we're going to have, I pray that they might be, that they might go forth and that they would be used to draw men unto you. And so Father God, we thank you for this time in your word, and we just ask in the name of your Son Jesus for your blessing upon this time. Amen and amen. As I mentioned, we're going to study the Apostles' Creed, and the Apostles' Creed is one of those wonderful statements of faith that really take a lot of the scripture and boil it down into a bunch of statements. And we're going to take these statements a little bit at a time, and I don't know whether this is going to end up being a 3-week series or a 4-week series or even more than that. It just kind of depends on how deep the Spirit leads us. So why do we have creeds in the church? What's the importance of the creeds? Well, the creeds give us a handy way, kind of a pocket guide to what we believe. And these creeds are based not, you know, these aren't things that are just simply made up, but these are creeds that are based on, you know, what was written in the scripture. Now, I chose the Apostles' Creed, and I chose it specifically. I could have chosen the Nicene Creed or the Athanasius Creed. There are just all sorts of creeds out there. But I chose the Apostles' Creed because it happens to be the creed that most people are the most familiar with. And in a way, it's kind of the larger creed, and some of the other creeds are kind of They are summaries of the Apostles' Creed. And where there are things that are specific to the Roman Church, and there's really only one line that is specific to the Roman Church, or can be interpreted that way. These creeds really set down what it means to believe in Jesus and what it means to be a Christ follower. And so we're going to begin, and throughout the series, we're going to begin the same way. We're going to actually read through or recite the Apostles' Creed. And then we're going to go in and we're going to break it down. you know, in some cases line by line, some cases it might even get down to word by word. But we're going to break it down and we're going to look at the scripture that stands behind these words. And so if you're familiar with the Apostles' Creed, feel free to recite with me. And if not, just listen and let the word soak into you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in his Son, Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended in heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty. From thence, he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You see, the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is just that brief statement of faith. And while it's true that the Apostles' Creed is most notably recited amongst the Catholic Church, the Apostles' Creed is really the creed of the entire church. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Now, Catholics say that that's the Roman Church. But Catholic is simply the Latin for the word for universal. I believe in the Holy Universal Church. The communion of saints, all the saints, all the believers, from the very first apostles to the very last of the saints that will walk this earth. This refers to all who have put their trust in the completed work of Jesus Christ. Whether the sign on the door of your church says Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, Pentecostal, Evangelical. If you have put your trust in the completed work of Jesus Christ, you are part of the Church Universal, the Catholic Church. And so this creed is for you. And if you've never put your trust in Jesus, this creed is, shall we say, kind of a springboard to explain what it means to be a Christ follower. And so, let's begin. I believe. The first thing we need to understand is that faith or trust or belief is personal. I cannot have relationship with God based on what my grandmother did, what my mother did. I cannot have relationship with God based on what my wife or what my children do. I cannot have a relationship with God based on what my next door neighbor does. Relationship is based on I. It's based on me. Your faith cannot save me. My faith cannot save you. My faith can point you to the one in whom you should have faith. Your faith can point me to the one in whom I should trust. But God deals with each and every one of us as individuals. He doesn't deal in groups. He doesn't deal based on what name is on the door of your church. He doesn't deal with you based on what your affiliation with unless it is an affiliation directly with him. I believe. Believe is to trust. Believe is to have faith in. Many people try to make faith this big, awesome, mysterious thing. Let me tell you something. Faith is simple. Jesus once said that if you would have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed, and the mountain will be removed. What is faith? What is trust? Well, I like to use an example. If you are sitting on a chair right now, when you sat on that chair, did you know that that chair was going to hold you up? Did you know the status of every atom and every molecule in that chair? Did you know whether someone had maybe loosened the nuts and bolts in the chair before you sat on it so it would fall down? Did you know if maybe somebody had like broken a leg on the chair and glued it back together in such a way that when you put your weight on the chair, you would fall? You probably did not think through all of those scenarios. You just saw the chair and you sat down. But see, you did not have complete knowledge of the history of that chair. And yet you could not know whether that chair would hold you up. Therefore, the act of sitting on that chair was an act of faith. It was an act of trust. I trust. That's what that first phrase, I believe. Now, there are many groups that would say you just need to have enough faith, but what is your faith in? You see, faith, to be true faith, has to have an object. And either we are going to believe in ourselves, that's called humanism, or we are going to believe in a deity. And there are many deities in the world that one can choose to believe in. But what is there a deity? Out of all the many hundreds or thousands or millions, that is the deity that one needs to put their trust in. There are many things that go by the name of God. But the question is which God? Which God? I believe in God. Which God? I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe in the God who revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. I believe in the God who revealed himself to the prophets of the Old Testament. Why? Well, there are many gods to choose from. But here's the thing. There's only one God who has shown himself consistently, over and over again, to be a God who keeps his promise. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is only one God who is consistent in his dealings with people. He is not changeable. He says, if you obey my laws, if you do righteousness, if you take care and love one another, then you have loved me. See, every other God, every other religious system on the planet Earth requires that we don't know whether God is going to accept us or not. The God of the Bible, the Father Almighty, has said, if you will trust me, then I will. If you will trust me, then I am. The covenant name of God. Jehovah, Yahweh, Jehovah. We're not sure how it's pronounced. But that covenant name, I am that I am. If you will call out to me, I am the one who sees. If you will cry out to me, I am the one who heals. I am. There's only one God who says, you cannot make it to heaven on your own. You cannot do enough. You cannot say enough. You cannot give enough. You cannot. But I can. That is the God that the Christian serves. There's only one God who relates to his people as Father. I believe in God the Father. God the Father. No other God relates to humankind as Father. At best, they are aloof. At worst, they're capricious. And we never can tell what they want or what they're about. But one and only one deity has chosen to relate to mankind, his Father. In the Old Testament, he called Israel his son. He called out a special people through whom he could bless the entire world, through whom nations and peoples and tongues could come to know that there is a creator who created them not out of spite, but out of love. You see, our life proceeds from the love of God. It is the love of God that called us into being. In the big sense of calling the universe into being, but in the individual sense of calling you and I into being. You see, even if your parents didn't want you, God wanted you. And that's why you're here. Even if by the world standards you were a mistake, you were no mistake. Because God wanted you. God wanted someone who is you, not just like you, but who is you? Someone whom he could lavish his love on. Almighty. The God of the Bible is all powerful. He created the universe. He spoke it into being. He is so powerful that he said the word and the stars were. He is so powerful that at his word, space, time, and matter were created. He is so powerful that at his word, the heavens were stretched forth and continue to be stretched forth. Some 14 billion light years now. 15 billion light years. He's so powerful that even though we as people, we as individuals, choose to reject him, he's so powerful that he can melt the hardened heart of the worst sinner. He is so powerful that, watch this, the prophet Isaiah speaking of the Lord to come, Jesus Christ, said this: a bruised reed he will not break. A bruised reed. I don't know if you've ever gone down to like a marshy area and you saw like a reed that's kind of bent over and you tried to straighten the reed out and it just breaks. Let me tell you how powerful God is. God is so powerful that no matter how fragile your life is, no matter how tender the wound is, he can straighten you out without breaking. I'm not going to say it's going to be comfortable when he straightens you out, but he can do it without breaking you. The prophet Isaiah also says that a smoldering wick he will not snuff. You know, back then they didn't really have candles. What they had is they had oil lamps. And, you know, the lamp would burn and burn and burn. And eventually it would either get down to the bottom of the oil or you know, and the flame would go out on the wick. But the wick itself would still be smoldering, like a charcoal. How many of you have ever tried to, like, start a fire at a campsite? You've got the embers. You know, for those of us that want to start fire caveman style. Ugh, fire. You have the embers. And you got a little ember going. And you're trying to blow on it. And sometimes you blow so hard that you blow the ember out. Oh, no fire. Our God is so powerful, so almighty that you might have a life that you think is about to be snuffed out. You might have hopes that you had, and they're just dying embers. Now, God is powerful enough that he could come through like a hurricane, but that would snuff your fire out. No, God is so powerful. God is so almighty that he can come down and he can breathe and cause your life to flame up. Cause your hope to flame up. That's how almighty God is. Creator of heaven and earth. He made it all. We've talked about that. So let's... I've painted a picture of this God. I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited about this God. But I said we're going to look at the creeds, or at least look at this creed, and who knows, we might do other creeds if that's something that is a blessing to you. But we're going to look at the creeds and we're going to go, watch this. So I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Everything begins with belief. Hebrews chapter 11, 6 tells us, and without faith, without belief, it is impossible to please God. If you don't trust him, you can't please him. Why can't you please him? Because you ain't going to be willing to do the things he tells you to do. Duh. I'm sorry, dude. That's just the way it rolls. If you don't trust him, you're not going to try the stuff that he tells you to try. Without faith, it is impossible to believe to please God. I believe in God. Because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists. If you don't believe that God exists, how are you going to trust him? And even if you do believe that God exists, watch this, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So let's say you believe that God exists, but you don't believe that he's going to reward you. Well, then you're not going to trust him. You're not going to seek him. And therefore, you're not going to please him. I believe in God. I believe in God. In other words, I believe that he exists. I believe that he rewards those who seek him. Matthew 5:45. Watch this. Now I'm going to back up just a little bit. This is Jesus talking. What's kind of called the Sermon on the Mount. Watch this. I'm going to back up to actually verse 43. You have heard it said, You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Now you're saying, Dan, we're talking about believing God. Yeah. How do you show that you believe God? You follow his commandments. There are only two commandments that we need to follow, and if we follow these two commandments, we got everything else wrapped up. Love God with everything you got, heart, mind, soul, body, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This passage talks about loving your neighbor, loving your enemy. Love is the ultimate expression of belief in God. James puts it this way. How can you say that you believe in the God that you cannot see when you don't love your brothers whom you do see? You see, loving God is manifested in loving our neighbors. And when we love our neighbors as Jesus loved us, sacrificially, being willing to give of ourselves, to give of our strength, to give of our hope, to give of our dreams, when we love like Jesus loved, then we show faith in the Father. Because Jesus did what he saw the Father do. And if we do what we saw Jesus doing, then we will be doing what the Father has done. We will be doing the will of God. And we will be expressing trust in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. God created it. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created. It didn't happen because God ate some bad Taco Bell on Tuesday and it was Wednesday. And, well, you know all what happens when that happens. No, we're not a cosmic accident. We are not something that just dropped out. No, we are here for a purpose. A purpose that God made. Watch this. The Apostle John puts it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, Jesus, who is God, created the heavens and the earth. Let's get a little bit more personal. In your beginning, God called you into being. He called you into being. Yes, your mother and your father contributed something. But if it wasn't God's will, that something would have ended up being nothing. If it wasn't God's will, that pregnancy would not have continued. If it wasn't God's will, that sperm would have never found the egg. Think about it. Think about all the things that had to happen, that had to be choreographed. Think about the genetic code that is in every cell of your body. Every cell of your body has everything it needs to make a complete copy of you. And yet something, someone had to orchestrate how those genes turned on and turned off so that you became you and not some sort of weird mutant blob. In the beginning, God created you with a purpose, with a dream, with a hope of the potential that you have within you. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Let's get there. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Watch this. God has spoken to us not only through his word, but through his creation. We can derive God just by simply looking at the world. That's why we can believe in God. Even apart from the Bible, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Why can we believe? Because heaven and earth exists. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. The very creation sings. The psalmist says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory. Jesus, when on the triumphal entry, when he was riding that donkey into Jerusalem, and the people were laying their cloaks down and laying down palm branches, and they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Save, God save, God save, God save. And the scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders said to Jesus, you should calm your folks down. Because the scribes and Pharisees figured that the folks that were singing the messianic psalms, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, that they were blaspheming. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said that if these should be quiet, the very stones would praise him. Think about that. The very rocks of the earth, the very stars in the sky, they declare the glory of God. The animals, as they go about their lives and their habitats, the plants, as they grow up in spring and bear fruit, they declare God's glory. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You see, because of the creation, we can believe. And when we believe, we will trust. And when we trust, we will follow God's commands. And his commands are not onerous. His commands are not harsh. His command is simple. Love as I have loved you. Father God, we thank you for this time in your word. And we thank you for these early creeds, these early statements of faith. Father God, that give us a chance to focus on who you are and who we are and the wonderful love and work that you have done in us. Father God, I ask that these words will be a blessing to you. And Father God, I pray for those who are listening who may not know you, who may not understand who you are. And I ask in the mighty name of your Son that their eyes would be opened, that their hearts would be softened, that they might know you and come to trust that you are God, that you are Father, and that you have all the power that you that they need in their life, and that you can create in them heaven here on earth. In the mighty, wonderful name of your Son, Yeshua, amen. May you find rich blessings in our God and Father as you meditate on the teaching from this week. If this teaching has meant something to you, we would ask that you would just contact us and let us know. We desire that we love hearing from those who are being touched by Balance Point. And you can contact us by email at staff@balancepoint.org. You can message us via our Facebook page, our Google Plus page, our YouTube page. We love getting postcards and letters, and we would love to hear from you. And our address is Balance Point Church at 1998 East Oris Street. That's O-R-I-S Street. And we're in Willowbrook, California, USA, 90222. We would love to hear from you, and we would love to hear what God is doing in your life. If you don't have a church home, you need to get plugged into a church home. And we would love to help you find a church home. Again, you can contact us, or you can even go to our ministry center at balancepoint.org. That's balance-point.org. And we'll get you plugged into the church, or if for some reason you don't have a church that you can get to, we would love to have you become part of the Balance Point family. But more important than being a part of the church, become a part of God's family. If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus to have saved you and to have paid the price that you cannot pay back to God, you can do that today by just simply saying, God, I was wrong. Forgive me. Send your Son to live in me. It's that simple. You don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to go on a pilgrimage. And if you prayed that, again, we would love to hear from you. And we would love to welcome you to the family of God. Until next time, which will be Thursday evening at 7:30 Pacific time, may God richly bless you.